It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by the Honorable Representative Mike Conaway, who represents the 11th Congressional District of Texas, chairman of the all-powerful House Agriculture Committee. I've thrown another word in there.
Absolutely. I like that all-powerful. I like that. Good stuff. Hey, Tony, thanks for having me on today. It's good to be face-to-face with you. We normally do this over the phone, and this is a little treat for me, so thanks for being here.
Well, speaking of a treat, you'll reciprocate later because I'll get to watch you on first base at the congressional baseball game. What an exciting event!
Well, it is, and today's the 1 year anniversary of the shooting last year that happened the day before the game, and we were actually at the park this morning, Nationals Park, and when the clock went to 7:09, which is about what time the shooting started, the Republicans gathered up and we said a prayer, and Steve Scalise was among us, which is an answered prayers for him to be there in uniform. He took a couple of ground balls at second base, and then he took some swings at the plate, and he'll be our starting second baseman. I don't know that he'll play the whole game, but he'll be in for a couple of batters perhaps, and I'll certainly be at first base when we're batting. I'll coach at first base. Whether I actually be playing first base when we're in the field, yet to be determined, but up to Roger Williams to see what happens there. But just fun to be a part of the team, and it's the 1 year anniversary, so it's pretty cool to get all that behind us now, and a lot of lives changed. Steve certainly changed. Matt Micah was back out this morning. He was a young kid that was shot in the chest. He threw batting practice today, so he's just about fully recovered. And then, of course, Zach Barth, who was shot in the leg, he's been fine. Roger Williams, broken ankle's fine. But good to be playing baseball again.
What many may not realize is that's an opportunity for you to work with other members of Congress, both in and out of your party. It's really a bonding time.
It really is. It's a shared experience. I mean, we hate the Democrats to death on the baseball team because they've been beaten so badly. But, it's that standard good little boy competition stuff where you just go play baseball and you try as hard as you can to win. But if you don't, then there's no hard feelings. You just, you play hard. And when the games are going on, it is as raw partisan as it could possibly be. They're hooting at us and we're hooting at them. And it's fun for the folks in the stands because they've got signs taunting the other team and we've got signs taunting them. And, if we can keep the game close, then the fans stay in the game. It makes a lot of fun. If they blow us out like they've done for, seven out of the last 8 years, then it gets kind of ugly. But it is just – it's good fun. But because you share it, then, I've got a special relationship with the Democrat baseball players that I don't have with other folks because, it's a common experience we play hard against each other, but if the game's over, you're still all just baseball players. Well, that's a bit of a stretch. You're old guys who got baseball uniforms on, you've got mitts and bats and balls, but to call us baseball players is a bit of a stretch.
Let's segue to something else that's going on and has been going on for quite some time. That is the Farm Bill, and you did get the Farm Bill through your committee, got it on the floor, and it, just a strange little twist at the end for those of us watching, it's still alive. Senate has their Farm Bill. They're teeing it up as well.
Well, we've actually seen movement this week, and you're right. We've been focused on this eventuality for a long, long time, and I've told folks over and over that I want to get the bill done, signed by the president, in place before the current one expires. And having the House vote next week on our version and then having Pat get his out of committee yesterday was a big deal for him and his guys. And then he's talking about having his bill on the Senate floor the last week of June. So if we got both versions done by the end of June, then that would give us July and August to work out the differences between the two. And we've always known that the path through this process was a conference committee that would blend the two bills together, get to a point where they could both pass each house and then send that to the president. That looks certainly doable before the end of September. And that's my mission, is to get that done. We've made a breakthrough in the immigration impasse that we've had here in the House that took the Farm Bill hostage. That looks like we've had a breakthrough in that. That will get resolved next week with the votes that folks wanted, and then we'll trigger the motion to reconsider the H.R. 2, which means that the Speaker preserved that opportunity last when he switched his yes vote to a no vote. that preserve the opportunity for him to bring it up. That will come up immediately following the immigration votes next week. I believe we've got the votes to pass it, and then that sets us up to work with Pat once he gets his deal across the Senate floor. So actual movement, and the light at the end of the tunnel got brighter, and it's not because the train running at us is closer. It's because we're seeing the opening at the other end of the tunnel.
You mentioned in there immigration really was what took this hostage. But the immigration debate, one that probably needs to happen, because you throw immigration, border security is there, guest workers, it's all tightly wound together.
Well, it is. The unfortunate thing about the negotiations was that they jettisoned the guest worker program and the visa e-verify program. Now, as a part of all that, we got a hard commitment out of leadership that before the July break, we will have a ag worker program, e-verify, an H-2B visa fix bill that will be up for a vote before we break in August. So that's a promise delayed or an expectation delayed, because I'd wanted the Goodlatte-McCaul bill to be to have the guest worker program in it. I've been working extensively with Bob to try to get that as good as we can get it for production agriculture. But it looks like that'll now happen in July. So good stuff there. But the broader issues, border security, the visa lottery, chain migration, Dreamers or DACA's kids, all of that really needs to be dealt with. And Goodlatte-McCaul bill does that. And then the group that's led by Jeff Denham and Raul Labrador and Carlos Cabela, they've come up with a version of how they want to fix DACA that also blends in border security. It also has 10 or 12 points that the Department of Public Safety or Homeland Security has asked to help them better secure the border administratively, and that it addresses this asylum issue, in which just you say the magic word and you get asylum, you know, dealing with that and some other things that they've suggested would be good to do. So there'll be two different bills, and we'll see how they come together. Language is on the compromise bill is to be posted soon, so that we could vote on a rule on that next Tuesday, and then have the votes on Thursday for both those immigration bills. So forward momentum there that looks really good.
Another big issue for agriculture is where you sell your product. Obviously, you want to sell it at home when you can, and when you can't, you want to export it, which brings trade a lot of concern right now.
Well, it is. There's a lot of anxiety in the issue right now, because the president began to try to defend us against unfair trade practices in China, which are legion. That triggered certain responses for them, particularly with respect to our soybean guys and sorghum guys. Then he had said, you know, we need to redo NAFTA because we're upside down on that as well. And so all of that kind of gets blended together under this big umbrella of renegotiating all of our trade deals, getting the replacement for TPP, which may be bilateral deals with each of those countries, is really important to move that forward. So a lot of moving parts in that arena right now. It's hard. Once we get all these trade these deals done, and they're in our, so to speak, our rearview mirror, and we're enjoying better trade deals, we're enjoying more open markets and all those kind of things that I believe this president will get negotiated, things will be good. In the meantime, we got to live with it. And we've got a terrific negotiator on our part. We've just seen a great example of that 2 days ago when he convinced the leader of North Korea to start the process of denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. No one thought that would happen, and I think it's a direct result of President Trump's negotiating chops, and he's bringing that to bear on the trade issues as well. So he's defending us where folks are violating our trade deals. That creates anxiety, but he's also trying to renegotiate NAFTA and other things, which, you know, good on him to make that happen. My response to Lighthizer and Ambassador Dowd and President is, look, you know, get this done, get it done quickly. We need this behind us, but we need these deals redone, and we need our producers defended against unfair trade practices from other countries, and that's what he's doing. That comes with the retaliatory responses from the folks that we go after, like China went after sorghum and soybeans and, you know, those kind of things. So in the meantime, Mr. President, get done quickly. We need the, you know, you add up 5 years of depressed commodity prices, the worst 5-year 50% decline over the last 5 years in net farm income since the depression. You add this trade anxiety on top of that. Mother Nature, you know, we've got drought in the south and floods in the north, and, you know, the too wet to plant up north and too dry to plant down home. All of that means there's a lot of struggle. Chapter 12 bankruptcies are up by a third. So there's some legitimate hurt going on right now in production agriculture. And to the extent we can get a farm bill done, that takes a little bit of the uncertainty out of the mix. To the extent we get these trade deals done, the quicker those are done, that begins to take it out of the mix. People just deal better with certainty and reality than they do with the what-ifs and the uncertainty of all of those going on out there. So to reduce the number of psychiatrist visits from production agriculture folks, we need to put a little more certainty in their lives to help out.
It's always good to see you. I know you've got a busy next few months coming. We wish you the best.
Well, thanks, and we're going to need some wisdom of Solomon as we negotiate the differences between the Senate bill and the House version. We get that done. Now, there are hard decisions we're going to have to make. The thing that I'm going to argue is, look, we're not going to be any smarter in October or November than we are in August and September. Let's get these done. They're hard. We have all the information. We know what we need to do. It's just a matter of getting the decisions done. And for my money, let's go ahead and make them, put a bill up that the president can sign. And that way, production agriculture will know on October 1st what the next 5-year safety net looks like, what the next 5 years of SNAP looks like, and create that certainty for the producers so they can build 5-year plans, lenders, and the other folks within the system begin to make their plans, because they'll just know what the deal is. And there's an elegance to that is quite frankly priceless. So that's going to be the mission.
It's the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Mike Conaway, from the 11th Congressional District of Texas. And this is the Agribusiness Report.